It's good to see every single one of you. I say that a lot of Sundays, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It's good to see you because I know it was no small thing for you to get up this morning and get here. So I just pray as we get ready to listen to the Lord like we've already done this morning, is that you have a sense of expectancy as we hear the Word of God, that you have a deep confidence. God knows you're here. He's the one that led you here. And if he led you here, he has a word for you. So he is going to speak to you. And I pray that all of us, starting with my heart, has a sense of expectancy as we listen to the Lord. I thought I'd encourage us this morning from a word from Charlie Brown. So he's one of my favorites. Never lose hope. Charlie Brown has a good word for us this morning. Never lose hope. And yes, I'm thinking of Bryce Harper swinging at that last strike. So if you're a Nationals fan, there's a little word for you from Charlie Brown this morning too, even though he's swinging and whiffing at that. Never lose hope. Yes, we're frustrated about Dusty. I know you are too. But anyway, I digress. We get back on the word. So Charlie Brown, never lose hope. That's not only a word from Charlie Brown, it's a word from God. God knows that hope is what has been referred to as a psychological necessity. God has hardwired in us the need for hope. We thought about a few weeks ago, we can live days and months and weeks without food and water, but we can only live about 4 seconds without hope, is what somebody once said. So we need hope. Listen to the word of John Piper, a quote from John Piper, a pastor in the Midwest, because John Piper understands, as you do, some of the challenges of having hope. Now, let's read this together. Please read this. It'll be up on the screen. Let's read this together. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. The temptation to quit is huge, but don't. You are in good company. You will argue with yourself that there is no way forward. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can conceive. So wait, pray, without ceasing, and hope. If it is a part of your life right now, or you well know, it will be a part of your life. That's why Bill's call to worship this morning was so of the Lord, spot on. You resonated with what Bill shared. He talked about the darkness just that he and his family are living with, and you resonated with that. You connected with that on multiple fronts. You know darkness. You understand discouragement. You understand the temptation to give up and quit, and you get it when God says don't. And God put the whole idea of creative power of God, God put that in Ramon's mind this morning as he prayed. We hadn't talked. But the creative power and ability of God is something that is very important for us to think about this morning related to hope. Because for God to get us out of hope, he is very creative. He will use a variety of different tunnels. He'll use a variety of different ropes, a variety of different ladders. You name it, he's very creative. One of the strands, one of the ropes that he has in his word for us to get hope from is the prophet Isaiah. And one of the strands of that rope is Isaiah chapter 42, is the chapter that we're looking at today. And here's the message in a sentence God is bringing to us this morning. There is new spring. There is new hope. That's a whole message. It's a great way to summarize the message of Isaiah. There is a new spring coming, and because of that, there is new hope. We're in the fall right now. You know that. Leaves are starting to fall. We know we're going to head into December, January, February, but think about this for just a second. Think about April. Think about May. Is there any question in your mind that green is going to come in the spring of this next year? Any doubt? Not at all. We know that's going to happen. And that's the confidence that we can look at the prophecy of Isaiah this morning. Here's the summary from Isaiah 42 that gives us hope today. God wants us to focus on a single phrase: Jesus is bringing justice. Jesus is, present tense, actively working, even now, bringing justice. The children of Israel, as we do, desperately need to know that confidence, to be reminded of that. The children of Israel, as Isaiah is speaking into their lives, they are in captivity. They're in Babylon. Every day they wake up and they see the countryside, they see Babylon. They need to remember and be reminded that Jesus is bringing justice. All that's right about God and His ways, He is working that currently. God is bringing justice through the person of Jesus. Listen to these words. And believe it or not, this fourth word in is true. Here is my servant. God is bringing justice through a servant. Here's my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Notice the confidence that Isaiah has speaking as God has put his words into Isaiah's pen. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out. There's God the creator again. Who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for my people, the light of the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and the new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Jesus is bringing justice. And Isaiah is calling us, God is calling you and I this morning to see this justice, to see it. See, again, Ramon was moved by the Spirit of God, beginning prayer, asking us the question, do you see it? It's the very word that Isaiah is calling us to. Do we see this? God is calling us to have a new vision, to have eyes that are open, to seeing what he is doing. That has everything to do with our imaginations. When you think about the future, when you look out into the weeks and days and months ahead, what do you imagine? God is calling us to imagine and to see justice coming and to see Jesus working that and to have a deep confidence. He wants us to see the scope of this justice, of the ministry of Jesus. The scope is breathtaking. It's huge. It's global. The nations, in verse 1, he will bring justice to. And then down in verse 6, it is to the people, the light of the Gentiles, even those folks outside of Israel. The scope is breathtaking. It's transcendent. It's huge. But the scope is also intimate and personal. I will, verse 6, I will take hold of your hand, and your eyes that were blind will see. So it's not only a global scope, but the scope is intimate to our eyes and our hands. Jesus will open our eyes. He will take us by our hand in the midst of his global work of bringing justice. But what's the manner? How does Jesus do this? And by the way, when Isaiah uses the word servant, he uses it in a couple different references. This servant here is Jesus. We're going to read about another servant, and that's Israel coming up, and we have to keep those straight. But what is the manner with, how is Jesus going to do this? One, he's going to use his spirit. In verse 1, I will put my spirit on him, this servant. The Spirit of God is back again in the creative process in Genesis 1. We see the Spirit of God hovering over chaos. And in that hovering, it's the image of birth and new life. The Spirit of God is powerful. The Spirit of God is what is referred to when Jesus is risen from the dead. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The power of the Spirit broke death. The power of the Spirit hovers over chaos and brings order and beauty. And that's the manner with which God works in your chaos, in your situation right now. The Spirit of God is hovering. And the Spirit of God is powerful. Spirit of God is working in ways and means that we have no idea of. But we know he is. The other manner with which is fascinating, but very true to God and his character, it's completely upside down to how we might picture justice coming. It's not through the military. It is through a gentle servant. In verse 2, this servant will not shout. This servant will not be harsh. This servant, a bruised reed, he will not break. It's already broken. He will deal with that bruised reed tenderly. He won't break it. And a smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. The servant that Isaiah speaks about is a gentle servant. He is a mighty servant, but he is gentle. We looked at it last week. He has arms of power. He has arms of might. But he also has the arms of a shepherd. His tender arms that carry his sheep close to his heart. Do we see this as God asked us, as Isaiah asked us, as Ramond asked us? Do you imagine this? Do you see this in your eyes? Do you sense the confidence that Jesus is bringing justice? So how do we live? Notice what happens. Isaiah gives us a model. How do we live in light of this confidence that Jesus is bringing justice? He breaks into praise. How do we live during these days of the in-between, the not yet? We sing. We sing. We sing his praises. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands who and all who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out, here's one image, as a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal, and with a shout, he will raise the battle cry. He will triumph over enemies. He will do this. But notice the other image that Isaiah brings of God. For a long time I have kept silent. This is God. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I will cry out. I gasp and I pant. God is working. I will lay waste the mountains and hills, dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back to utter shame. As Isaiah thinks about the confidence and the power and the creativity of God to give us hope, to bring justice, he breaks into praise. It's the very same thing that the Apostle Paul does in Romans chapter 11. In Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul wrestles with what in the world is God up to with Israel. What is he up to? It doesn't make sense. The vision of what he saw did not make sense. God, what are you up to? And he wrestled in Romans 9, 10, and 11 with what's up with God. But then he, like Isaiah, breaks into praise. In verse 33 of Romans 11, oh, the depths and the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Respond, people of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Amen. God is calling you and I. In the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the not yet, in the middle of the waiting room, he commands us to praise. He commands us to turn our attention from those situations and circumstances in our life that he gets, that he is with us, that he does not minimize for a second. He is with us in our pain. But he calls us to turn our attention. He commands us to turn our attention from those to him. To shout his praise, to sing his praise. This is a choice. This is a decision of the will. It is something that we decide to do independent of our emotions. Our emotions might be clamoring for our attention, clamoring to be in despair, clamoring to be discouraged, but God is calling us to command our attention to him, to choose to praise him, to choose to believe for new things, to choose to realize that there are things that we don't see right now with our physical eyes. But Isaiah says, I am bringing new things. And we choose to believe and trust God that new things are coming. In the middle of what's going on, in the middle of our darkness, new things are coming. This is why Sundays and coming together are so vitally important. It is not just so that we can count people in seats and feel good about, no. It is all about us coming together and praising God together for a daughter who realizes you're choking. Thank you. I saw her get up and I knew what she was doing. Thank you. Yeah. I'll keep that there. It is so vitally important for you and for me to get ourselves here on Sunday mornings. So that we can praise God with others. I sat with Anna during most of the singing, and I just looked around. To realize that you decided to get yourself here today, and you were praising God. Some of you in the middle of darkness, as Bill's already said, but you got yourself here and you were praising God. And that does something. Something happens. I heard this even as recently as last night. When the people of God sing the praises of God in the presence of God, He does something. When the people of God gather and sing His praises together with Him present, something tangibly happens in our hearts. It's one way, one very creative, important way that God gives us hope. I want us to take 4 minutes to listen to a story, to listen to someone by the name of Stephen Curtis Chapman, who decided to praise God. He and his wife, Mary Beth, decided to praise God after their son accidentally hit one of their daughters, and she did not survive. When one of their children ended up killing another one of their children, they decided to praise God. This video ministers to me in a deep way. This is a moment for you just to meditate, to chew, to let someone speak into your life that is modeling what Isaiah is calling us to. To choose to see God bring beauty from ashes. Take 4 minutes, let God speak to you, enjoy this, meditate, and we'll finish up with Isaiah right after this. I do pray that your eyes can see that the images, I hope that the images of that video were helpful, are helpful, to help you imagine. Jesus is bringing justice, so sing his praise, choose to do that. But we've got to stay alert. We've got to stay humble. Israel, in verse 18, didn't. This is the servant he speaks about. Hear you deaf, look you blind, and see who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send. Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? That's Israel. And that can be us. And we can be deaf. We can be blind. We can choose not to see. We can choose not to hear what God is saying. You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness to make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted, all of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to send them back. Which of you will listen to this or pay close attention in time to come? Who handed Jacob to become loot and Israel to the plunderers? Was it not I, the Lord, against whom you have sinned? We have sinned, for they would not follow his ways. They did not obey his law. So he poured out on them his burning anger and violence of war. It enveloped them in flames, yet they did not understand. It consumed them, but they did not take it to heart. We have got to watch that we don't become like Israel, the servant who was blind and deaf. That means we stay humble. That means we let friends tell us, are you listening? We let friends into our lives. That's why life outside of Sunday mornings is so important. Because that's where we sit around tables as friends and we ask hard questions. That's why community is so important outside of Sunday morning. That's where those conversations take place. It's also the quietness of our lives. That's why the quiet listening to the Word, the quiet listening to the Spirit is so important. That's where God keeps us alert and humble. But then as Bill was led by the Lord to call us to Isaiah 43, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of the not yet, in the midst of the darkness, don't be afraid. Fear is one of the common elements that we all experience in darkness. It's one of the common elements of what happens when we're in between. We don't see it and we get afraid. And so that's why the last word of Isaiah is this to us today. But now this is what the Lord says, who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Yes, walk through that, the good word for Bill. Walk through that river, walk through that fire, but know with the confidence of God, he will be with you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, even though you choose to be deaf and blind, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. So do not be afraid, my friends, my children, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That's you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid. Let's close our time with just a time to meditate, some prayer, where you can ask God to seal this. Father, we pause right now in anything but just a nice religious ritual on a Sunday morning. Father, this is our lifeblood. This is our connection to you. Father, as we speak to you, we listen to you as well. Father, you know every single heart in this room today. You know some of the desperate, challenging circumstances that people are in even now. You know the ones that are going to come. So, Father, please, by the power of your word and by the power of your spirit, help our imaginations, enliven our imaginations with true images of your faithfulness, of your presence, of your creative ability to bring us hope, to see that Jesus is bringing justice. We can look forward to the fullness of that in the coming of his kingdom, but we can look forward to that even the next minute that might be hard, because you will be with us, you will be guiding us. So, Father, help us choose to praise you. Help us choose, Father, to be very aware of those word trains that come out of our mouth, of what we confess to others. Father, help us confess your goodness, your power, our hope. Father, keep us humble, keep us alert to you. And Father, help anyone in the room today that is afraid to have courage, to not be afraid because of you, your power and your presence. In the precious and the powerful name of Jesus, I ask this. Amen.